BlakeRadio.com.
Are you ready? No. You don't understand. I want to know. Are you ready?
For the thousands in attendance and for the millions not watching around the world, none of this is on television right now.
War Talk Radio presents to you the Monday Night Raw Post Show.
Come hell or high water, I am giving you Monday Night Raw. I am giving you a show tonight.
Featuring the likes of Sue Rockin.
Hi, Mom.
Lindsay Ward.
All of you men are simply intimidated. But most of all, men are intimidated by the fact that I have bigger balls than every man in this arena.
And Mace.
And if anyone disagrees with me, I'll open a can of the ass, we pump a mud pie, eat some low-fat frozen yogurt, and back the bottom line.
Interact with us live during the show and give us your takes on what your thoughts on Monday Night Raw.
I have received an email. The Raw General Manager says, and I quote...
Now step into the ring with us for the Raw Post Show.
Kane has got two words for you.
Song I could pick to start off the show with, so we won't draw theme. Anyway, welcome right to another edition of the WTR Welcome Show live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, presented in part by PWMania.com. You can hear us there. Come into the chat room that's on their website and interact with us live right here as we cover 3 hours of Monday Night Raw. I am Sir Rockin', and I am not alone. I am joined by the cowboy chick, Lindsay Ward.
Hello!
And the Aussie, Mace.
Raw sucked. That's the end of the show. Good night, everybody.
Okay.
All right, let's talk WWE porn names.
All right, and we're done. Oh, Lord. Where do we want to start with the porn names, or should we save that?
Actually, I was thinking it was kind of appropriate that Triple H and Shawn Michaels were in the intro and dominating the intro, since they dominated the whole fucking show tonight.
And I thought last night was WWE Presents Brock Lesnar vs. Triple H featuring a bunch of other guys we're not going to talk about. Tonight's Raw was Rest in Peace Triple H. Because I swear from the way the damn show was done, the guy fucking died last night.
It's funny, my complaints have nothing to do with the overhype of Triple H story.
Oh, that's just one of many.
I have logical and different complaints. But we'll get to those. God, it made my head hurt. Anyway, Brock Lesnar and Paul Heyman opened up Monday Night Raw. By the way, Heyman's awesome on the mic. No matter what you say about whatever happened on the show, Heyman was good.
He was.
Except very long-winded.
But that's Paul Heyman.
True. But even he knows that there are limits to how far you go with a promo. I'm sitting there, I think, at about the 15-plus minute mark going, oh, God, can somebody just interrupt this guy already?
Paul Heyman came out and talked about how he put over Triple H as a warrior. He even talked about his torn quad that he watched Triple H suffer through 11 years ago. He said a torn quad couldn't stop Triple H, but Brock could. He said Lesnar made Hunter tap out, which means he made him quit. He forced Triple H to quit on his family, the company, the fans, and the entire WWE universe. Paul Heyman continued to put over Lesnar as the baddest man alive. And that Hunter is, not as a shelf of his former self. Heyman said he'd didn't feel bad for Hunter because he wanted this fight, which, you know, had Heyman bring out Scott Armstrong to the ring so Brock Lesnar could address him, and Armstrong took a while to get to the ring as he's afraid to get in the ring with Brock Lesnar. And, well, I don't blame him, because Lesnar's a scary dude, and, you know.
Yeah.
He could break your arm in
and
a second.
And we've got 3 hours to fill.
And you have 3 hours to fill, too. Good point.
This is called stall. Stall like you've never done it before.
As Armstrong finally got to the ring, Heyman said, well, last night they had 2 words for Hunter last night, and they were tap out. Brock had 2 words for Scott Armstrong. Good job. And then Paul Heyman proclaimed Brock Lesnar the new king of kings, the Lord and Savior, or something, of the Rock-tagon, or something along those lines. Gave him a whole bunch of fancy nicknames. Built Brock Lesnar up as the new king of the WWE.
Suppose they had to do it, considering the way Triple H exited last night, pretty much pissed all over any credibility Rock had. Brock had.
Andy Steven in the chat room goes, Lesnar, Triple H, 2 at Survivor Series?
No. No, 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 no. We are not going to waste another Big Show on those two fucking retards.
But come on.
Over to move on, please, for the love of fuck.
But come on. You gotta see it like one more time.
No!
Mace wants that no-shirt at WWEshop.com.
No.
No?
I just got a delivery from WWEshop.com. It's too early to make another one.
It's never too early to make another one.
Yes, it is, because there's not enough stuff to make up enough to justify paying their shipping cost.
Not yet.
Not yet. We got a couple weeks. We'll see what happens. Anyway, thoughts on this whole thing?
I kept waiting for bells, lightning, and fog, and it never came. I was very upset.
You thought that's how the show would end? I kind of did, too.
I was wondering why the fuck I got up. I could have stayed in bed and slept.
Yeah.
It was a nice way to open the show. It helped establish Brock. Now, what they did later in the show with the tout shit, that was a little stupid. But, yeah, I mean, as far as the way to open it, it helped put over the match. It helped make Brock seem dominant and confident, and it was a nice setup for something that they never followed through on later in the show.
Yeah.
Which they could have and should have with all the attention this got.
Next week.
But I want it to be over this week, so I don't have to worry about it next week.
They're gonna drag it out as long as possible.
Why?
Because they hate us.
Apparently.
Speaking of tout, they showed CM Punk's tout from earlier on, where he says he will pick his own opponent tonight.
Bullshit. Bullshit.
Then we had Kofi Kingston and R-Truth come out for their 6-man tag team match with the, what are they called? What are those buddy things called?
The
Brawlin' Buddies.
Brawlin' Buddies?
Yeah, them things.
Them things. They gave them out to the crowd. And then the funny moment they probably had on WWE.com that I didn't see was R-Truth poured Gatorade on Little Jimmy. I thought that was hysterical.
That was awesome.
But I thought little Jimmy was in hospital.
Apparently not.
He got better.
He was backstage.
That kid gets around, I'll tell you what.
He does. He really does. This set up a 6-man tag team matchup, Sin Cara, R-Truth, and Kofi Kingston versus Cody Rhodes and the Primetime Players. Kofi, R-Truth, and Sin Cara win the match, and, well, it was a match.
Bye-bye, yep. Primetime Players. Nice knowing you.
Mace?
Yes.
Any thoughts? Thoughts? None?
Okay, by this point, I had turned off.
Okay.
Raw lost me early in this show, and they never got me back. I got distracted by the new lots of switches that I got in today, and my WWE order, and video games, and trying to find other stuff, and talking toys with Omega. Okay, this week bored the shit out of me so early, there was many times that I just wanted to go, you know what, I'm going to close this window and go do something else. If I didn't have to do this show, I wouldn't have watched this show. I would have turned it off and gone to do something else.
But you love us, so you stayed around.
I believe I signed a contract at one point saying I had to do this shit.
This is true. I wasn't going to mention that.
plus, I'm quite sure Omega's death traps are still around here somewhere.
Yeah, you want to look out for those. So yeah, six-man tag, R-Truth, Sin Cara, and Kofi win. Then they talked about a tag team matchup later on in the evening. Daniel Bryan and The Miz team up against Kane and Zack Ryder.
They had to find Kane a partner. They didn't have anybody else.
Strange, but we'll go with it. David Otunga walked up as AJ was about to talk to Matt Stryker and talked about how he did a movie with Halle Berry. And he wanted to offer his services to AJ, you know, for all kinds of legal things, because, you know, she gets crazy. He said the word crazy. And she booked him into a match. We all thought it would be the Ryback, but it wasn't. We'll get to that later.
The Pink-Eyed Warrior.
AJ,
yeah, noticed that yet?
I have.
Ryback has a serious case of pink eye going on every week.
I know. It's a big thing on the internet. Everyone talks about it. Stryker then went back to talking to AJ and asked about the talent from CM Punk. She said he could do it, pending her approval. And then she skipped off. This then brought up Ryback versus the Alan Wojcik special, according to Omega. Two indie guys you don't know. Ryback was destroyed them until Jinder Mahal came out attacked and, you know, beat him up for a couple of seconds, put in the camel clutch, and then, well, just hit some sort of slam on him. I can't remember what. And then, you know, Mahal.
I am Sheik not happy with.
I know. Did you see that?
I saw that, and I'm sitting there going, really, you old bastard?
Really? Yeah, I was like, really? Anyway.
If we went by the rule of anybody who uses a certain finish that nobody else can use it ever, these guys would be doing an arm wrestling contest in the ring every fucking week.
This was brought up on Twitter, and I don't remember if it happened later on in the night, but today was the 1004th episode of Monday Night Raw. Did Jericho do an armbar?
You know, I'm now trying to remember the matches that he did. Because if he did, I would.
That's awesome!
I saw that on Twitter, and I was like, okay, that's kind of awesome.
Well played, whoever did that. Very well played.
Anyway, right back, chased off Mahal and squashed the jabber some more. So yeah, he won by DQ. Did you make those up or did you see those?
No, I found those.
Okay, but we'll get to them. Speaking of Dolph Ziggler and Chris Jericho, they were talking backstage. Ziggler demanded a rematch because Jericho's win was a fluke. We heard that somewhere before. Jericho said he was the Ayatollah of Rock and Roll at Y2J. He was a 6-time forward champion and knows how to win the big ones. He questioned if Ziggler did. AJ skipped around and said if they both won a rematch, she wanted to raise the stakes. She said if Jericho lost, his contract would be terminated, but if Ziggler won, he would lose the Money in the Bank contract to Chris Jericho.
The only thing I liked about that was the fact that she skips in the door and around them before stopping behind them and start talking.
Yes.
That was kind of awesome.
She knows how to work it. She does. Really does.
She does. You know, that sets up a match we all thought would happen. You know, basically after the result of last night. Alberto Del Rio, that made his entrance to the ring as, you know, he basically said he was robbed last night by the referee and the peasant, Sheamus. He showed photos of his leg being on the rope. He did another title match tonight. Out-skipped AJ, and, well, she had no control over the world title picture and can't book matches because that's Booker T's thing. But she could put him in an actual match, not for the title. And the opponent was her little friend, Randy Orton.
Boring. Boring. She needs to get away from the Teddy Long school of booking. Because if you notice, last week she was booking tag matches. This week it's matches with Randy Orton.
Well, here's a theory I have with the whole Randy Orton thing. Because if Randy Orton took on Alberto Del Rio and beat him, they can only use Randy Orton as a surprise because they're too scared to put him in a feud.
Then you know what? Release him from the company.
Or just send him off to do his new movie, 12 Rounds, something or other. Which I think
he can go back to FCW. No, I mean NXT.
So yeah, Randy Orton won. It was a match.
Yeah, I'll go with that. It was eh.
So yeah, they had a match and, you know, that was that. They showed CM Punk getting interviewed last night on WWE.com, how he defended his title twice in one night, you know, because he had to fight off four people, including AJ, and he finally picked up the belt and told everyone to get used to it, whether they liked it or not, that he is the WWE champion. They recapped Antonio Cesaro winning. This then brought out Brodus Clay. He took on Damian Sandow.
Hey, I like Sandow.
I like Sandow too.
I like Sandow as a character. He's doing quite well. He gets heat very easily.
And go ahead.
I was just gonna say he's very entertaining. I just wish he was getting more than Brodus Clay.
Yeah, that's what happens when you have a guy who does a smart character who is booked by dumb people.
Brodus Clay, you saw Brodus Clay come down to the ring and you know he's fighting Damian Sandow, and you flipped away for a couple minutes, and you flip back and you see Brodus Clay dancing. You would think Brodus Clay won the match, right?
Right.
But he didn't win. Damian Sandow actually won the match.
Yeah, but they gotta get the dance in for the kiddies.
But that does nothing for Sandow, though.
They don't care about building anyone.
I know, but this is what... logic. You don't get anyone over if you...
Okay, let's get it right. They don't care about building Sandow, who is becoming popular in his own right. They want to force-feed you the Brodus Clay character that nobody gives a shit about. No logic makes sense.
If you're going to have him Sandow win, have him Sandow win, do his cartwheel, and leave. Someone put out on Twitter, if you're losing a match, you shouldn't be smiling and dancing. And that's correct.
But he got to beat up Sandow afterwards and no-sell everything. Which seems to be very common with good old Funkasaurus retard.
It's, I don't know, it just...
Yeah, the whole thing with Brodus Clay is it was cute when it first started. It kind of grew a little bit. They put him in the feud with Big Show, which went nowhere. And then now they're putting him in a feud with Sandow, and they're not doing anything to evolve Brodus Clay's character. He's extremely one-dimensional, and he's a one-trick pony.
But he makes the kitties happy.
Fun. He can make the kitties happy, but at least evolve him a little bit.
All of a sudden, I was thinking he was a Pokemon.
Gotta catch them all. Anyway.
Do the dancers come with him, or are they separate?
They're
I don't know.
They might be DLC. Who knows? Anyway. They recapped Lesnar's attack on Shawn Michaels from last week, and they talked about how they're going to speak to Shawn Michaels via satellite. For once, someone actually was via satellite. Shocker. I know.
Wow.
And here's what Shawn Michaels had to say.
What am I feeling right now? I'm feeling I think I know what's going through Triple H's head right now. You know, you can tell yourself that the end is near. You can prepare yourself for. You can do everything that everybody says you should do. But there's really nothing that prepares you for that day when, bam, it hits you right in the face. Because all the thoughts you've given it, it always sort of happens silently and privately on your own. When in reality, it happens in front of thousands of people and millions on pay-per-view. And that's the humbling part of it. You can't prepare yourself for that. You can't prepare yourself to face your own professional mortality. You can talk about it all day long. I know what he's feeling. I think what we saw last night could very well be the end of an amazing career. Triple H is a warrior. He always has been. He's a man of honor. He's a man of integrity. Something that Brock Lesnar and Paul Heyman would know absolutely nothing about. He went out there every night and gave it everything he had. Last night was no exception. He left every ounce of his being in that ring. Last night and every night prior. Because that's who the game is. You know, the last couple weeks I came around because I wanted to support my friend. As I look back on it now, I realize just how stupid that was. I became a distraction more than anything else. Another burden on the shoulders of Triple H. Who knows? You know, had I been there in his corner last night, maybe. Maybe it would have been different. Maybe it wouldn't have made any difference at all. I do know this, though. Last week, I told Triple H that he knew where my heart was. The fact is, I didn't tell him the truth. And that's what he needed to hear. He needed to hear me say that I didn't think he could beat Brock Lesnar. It isn't easy to look your friend in the eye, somebody who's been there for you, they're thick and thin, that you think that it's over for them, that maybe time has run its course. Connor, I want you to know this. You have nothing to be ashamed of. You are one of the greatest superstars to ever live. I've always respected you, and I've always been proud of you, and I've always loved you. We all love you. On behalf of myself and the entire WWE Universe, we thank you for a job well done.
What would you say, Shawn Michaels?
And then they played the Rest in Peace graphic for Triple H and a nice promo package over his career before showing the gravestone.
Oh, wait, that hasn't happened yet.
That hasn't happened yet, always.
They might as fucking well have.
Spoiler alert? Yeah.
No, that's when that comment came from me, was when Shawn Michaels just... That sounded like Triple H died last night.
He gave his eulogy.
Yeah, pretty much.
We'll say Shawn did his job. He got it over.
I don't know if he did. I mean, it was a great promo, But it felt like it was too much. It was almost overdone in a lot of ways. It just, I don't know why, but it just, it's, it, yeah, no. I didn't really care for it that much. And I love pretty much everything Shawn Michaels does.
We'll see how it goes from here on out, because, you know, the story's not over.
Why the fuck not?
Because they'll have to pick it back up in November when everyone's back around. Speaking of back around, David Otunga was back in the ring for his matchup. His opponent, The Big Show.
Otunga was less shiny.
Well, yeah, he was, and, well, he got killed in about 2 minutes.
That's probably why he wasn't shiny. He was hit so fast that if he hit the mat that many times, he would have been burnt to a crisp, and he would have gone up in flames. Fiery, fiery, burny death.
All I have to say is Orton and Del Rio went before him, and that's where all the baby oil went. Just saying.
Up next was the oddball tag team match. Daniel Bryan teamed with The Miz to take on Kane and Zack Ryder, and, well, Bryan kicked The Miz by accident, which allowed Ryder to get in, tag in Kane. Bryan tried to tag out, but Miz dropped to the floor. Bryan slapped Kane, and then he and Miz, well, they went through the crowd. So what's left to do? Kane kills Ryder. Again.
Can I just rant on this for a second?
Yes.
Dude slaps you and you don't give chase? What the fuck is wrong with you, Kane? Go after Bryan. Don't kill Ryder. Don't kill a timekeeper. It's okay if you kill Cole on your way out. We're all good with that. But go after Bryan. Just, this made my head hurt. I don't know what they did to this storyline, but they need to fix it.
Oh, look, football was on.
Yes, I had a nice distraction for 3 hours today.
Yeah, he had the Eagles game.
So did I. Once that match started, I'm like, ooh, football.
I had the Eagles game because ESPN streams it online when they watch ESPN app thing for on the internet. So I was watching it on there, and I had Raw on the TV, so I was like, ooh, what's going on here? Ooh, it's the Eagles. Let's watch this.
It was Kane. I was obligated to pay attention.
I know you were. But yeah, Zack Ryder got killed. So welcome back to Raw, Zack Ryder, and you got killed.
At least he was on Raw.
I guess so. He can't riot this week. Anyway, up next, a battle royal to determine a new number one contender for the WWE Divas Championship, conspicuous by their absence, Kelly Kelly and Beth Phoenix.
Wait, I thought AJ was the number one contender. When did she get her title shot exactly?
When did AJ win the contendership?
She won it in the swimsuit
battle royal.
Because it was when she eliminated Vicky.
Layla versus AJ. I don't know.
Did she ever get an official title shot?
I don't know.
No, because it went from the swimsuit thing to the, when she proposed to Punk, then it was the thing, the marriage to Bryan, and then the GM stuff started. So she never actually got her title shot.
They had a match, but I don't think the title shot was involved. Oh, don't play sound. There we go. I thought I was clicking like a news article. No, it's a WWE.com video of the match. I don't want the match. Anyway, so Caitlyn is the new number one contender.
I repeat Omega's reaction of, yay, where, huh? Who?
You know, the girl who won NXT.
Who?
We went through this last week. Her name is Caitlyn.
I still don't remember who she is.
She's the one who lost to Eve on, well, you don't want SmackDown. Never mind. So she lost to become the assistant to Booker T, but now she's the number one contender?
Yeah.
Anyway, so Caitlyn's your new number one contender.
I want to rant on this one, too, if I can.
Okay, well, that's the whole point of the show. Go ahead.
One, Eve should not have been in the match because she's Booker T's assistant.
Two.
Hold on, let me think about it. Layla's reaction was crap. I had a whole rant and I just forgot it. Fuck! Oh yeah, and three, the match was weak. Completely, totally weak and BS. And by the way, for if anybody sees Alicia Fox's tweet of, oh my god, where did Caitlyn learn all those moves? It's called, she learned to be a wrestler, you stupid word I can't use.
Use it.
Dweeb.
Dweeb. Really?
Remember, we're not the PG show here.
I'm not going to say that one on air. I think it's illegal in a few countries. But, yeah, I saw that tweet and it irritated me. It's like, really? Oh my god, where did Caitlyn learn all those news? Oh wait, that's right, you're not used to working with wrestlers.
Wait, did I just hear thunder?
Cunt.
Thank you. Is that the word you're looking for?
Yes, the C word.
Okay.
See you next Tuesday.
At this point, we got a tout.
I came here and accomplished everything that I said I was going to do. There's nothing left for me here to conquer. I'm leaving the WWE, and I'm never coming back.
I am reading off a script. I am reading off a script. My name is Brock Lesnar, and I'm leaving.
There's the door. See you later. Bye.
You must have had low expectations.
Because he's accomplished everything. Except for one thing. Chicken shit.
Oh well, he's leaving and guess we don't get Brock versus Taker at Mania. Yay!
Now continue the yay, they aired the Wade Barrett video.
Hi, Wade.
Can they just bring him back already? Or even better, when you air the video package and then go to the commentators, have them acknowledge the fucking thing!
I'm okay with them bringing Wade back as long as they bring him back like he is in the video, shirtless and in the jeans, because that is a beautiful thing!
That's fine. They can do that. I just wish that when they run packages like that, that the first things that I actually hear is a bit of talk about Wade Barrett coming back, not, hi, we're back, did you hear what Triple H said? Or did you hear what Brock Lesnar said? Or did you hear what fucking AJ did? Okay, so we're going the style of we're ignoring video packages of guys returning now. Man. They have fucking monitors in front of them. They see the shit. It is in their fucking little rundown booklets that they have every fucking night. Is it so much to ask that they take 2 fucking seconds to acknowledge something that just fucking happened?
Yeah, because AJ just tweeted that she's sending Daniel Bryan to anger management next week.
Who gives a shit?
With Kane.
Okay. They also announced they have a new WWE app.
Which I
Who gives a shit?
It's like in the top 5 or 10 or something.
It's in the top 25. It's number 16, which nobody gives a fuck about. Let me know when you break the top 10 and I'll care.
Backstage, Vicky flipped out in the locker room and told Ziggler he had to win it for her. He said he has to win it for himself, that he might not never ever get another title shot if he lost tonight. she started screaming, and, well, Lindsay found her mute button. Because up next...
Somebody needs to just smash her in the fucking head and be done with it.
Up next is Dolph Ziggler versus Chris Jericho in a Money in the Bank contract versus WWE contract match. Good match?
Meh.
Better than last night.
Only just. Then again, you know, we're watching this for free instead of the match that we should have got last night that we paid like $30 to $40 for, depending on your country.
50.
Okay then, you guys get more expensive than we do.
And it's like $60-something if you go HD. It is that costly. Or is it 40? I can't remember. And it's 50 for HD, something like that. Whatever. Either way. So
it's too damn expensive, and it wasn't worth it last night.
No. Dolph Ziggler won the match, which means Jericho is now gone from WWE. Ziggler celebrated, yeah, which you're supposed to do, because he won the match. But no. Jericho jumped up and, well, took the briefcase from Vicky, and then he laid him out with the briefcase and then hit a code breaker as he said goodbye to the fans. Michael Cole closed by saying that this proved Jericho couldn't win the big one, but yet could lay out the man who just beat him.
This...
Oh,
I hate to agree with certain chat rooms that I visit, but somebody posted a theory of Jericho should have gotten up, shook Ziggler's hand, pointed to Vicky and said, "You don't need her," and then left. Because that's what I thought that the whole promo earlier in the night and everything was starting to lead up to.
Respect.
That, well, that respect between the two, and that finally somebody's turning around and saying, "You don't need Vicky. Get rid of her." And when he got frustrated at Vicky earlier in the night, doing the whole, "You have to win for me!" Yeah, that bullshit. I thought, we're going to head down that road, finally. But no. God forbid you use fucking logic and have some continuity in your fucking storylines.
Calm down, Max. Calm down.
Personally, I thought he was going to grab the briefcase and leave with it. That's what I wanted to see.
Also would have worked.
I just don't get it. I just don't get it. The moment should have been Dolph Ziggler winning. It shouldn't have anything to do with Jericho. We've seen Jericho leave 1,000 times. He shouldn't have to beat up Dolph Ziggler to leave, because now it's back to the even Steven booking where, oh look, I beat you, now I get revenge, like they did earlier tonight with Brothers Clay, Damian Sandow. You don't get over that way. Ziggler should have won the match, celebrated it. Jericho should have, you know, left. Simple as that. It made the matchup pointless, because now you have to rebuild Ziggler after the win, but he was laid out. You shouldn't have to rebuild anybody.
They're not interested in building anyone. I keep saying this.
I know, but this is my problem. They should be.
Why? They have John Cena, and they'll have him forever.
Rock. Ooh, saw.
I'm rubbing my forehead at the moment. I was doing that.
Can you tell we haven't enjoyed a single fucking thing in the last 24 hours?
I would... More of this breakdown on Thursday on the Rack, I'm telling you. Maybe. Maybe. I'll go into my ladder theory, maybe. Maybe a discussion topic. We'll see. Anyway. This brought out CM Punk for our main event. He said, looked like he was going to talk, out of respect, he's taken the backseat to the likes of Cena and Triple H and Dwayne The Rock Johnson, but first he went to Jerry Lawler asking for an apology Because, you know, for Jerry Lawler said he turned his back on the WWE Universe. Before that apology happened, John Cena came out. This is where he, you know, Punk said he took the back seat and how John Cena couldn't wait to be called out. And he took the back seat to everybody because it was out of respect. He said people were asking him why he wasn't in the main event. He said he was giving respect back to a company that had started giving respect last year but wasn't enough. He said the reason Cena was the number one contender because he had to beat him again. He said he beat him before and it didn't matter because everyone here sees, you know, John Cena's the man. Look at all the green shirts. The C Nation is alive and kicking. Which was weird because, you know, Punk was cutting a heel promo and they were chanting Cena sucks.
Irony.
That's because when Sam Punk does a heel promo, he hits those fans that the WWE doesn't cater for anymore. You know, the ones that are actually loud and have deep voices.
Right.
The ones whose balls have dropped.
Alright, John Cena, CM Punk said the only way John Cena can get the title shot is if he admits that CM Punk is the best in the world. And he basically cut him a promo saying he isn't the best in the world. It wasn't a disrespectful thing. It was how it had because, you know, he believed in the people and they believed in him. He's built a reputation and integrity up for 10 years. He said he wouldn't say it. So Punk could pick anybody he wanted to give the opportunity to, but he said Nia Champion was in his house. He said if Punk walked into Nia Champions and somehow walked out the same way, he would instantly get the respect he so craved. He dared Punk to challenge him at Nia Champions. Said if he didn't, Punk had no respect for the title or himself.
Bully, 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 give me my title shot. Bully, 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 give me my title shot. Give me my title shot. Give me a title shot.
Be a star, man. Be a star.
Be a star, Cena. Be a star.
Gee, somebody sounds like they're bigger than their britches and, ooh, maybe bigger than the business.
Pretty much, because that entire promo was basically Cena going, you know what, I don't need the belt, but I want the belt. I'm bigger than the business, I'm bigger than you, I'm bigger than everything around me. The only thing that stops people from being popular is the fact that I'm on top, and I'm not leaving anytime soon. So I'm going to be a spoiled little shit. I'm going to stand here and hold my breath until you give me a title shot, CM Punk. Not because I've earned it, but because I'm John fucking Cena.
What kills me is he's sitting there going, I want my title shot, but I'm not going to say the words. Well, say the stupid words and you'll get your title shot, you dumbass. That's all you have to do. Listen to Elaborate. Say the words.
So John Cena left the ring after that promo, and, well, CM Punk ignored him. He went back to finishing up with Jerry Lawler.
Fucking brilliant no-sell.
He no-selled it like he was the champ. Anyway,
this was moment of the night right there.
He told Jerry Lawler to get into the ring, and Lawler did. Punk demanded that he get the apology from Jerry Lawler. Punk said Lawler needed to tell everyone he was the best in the world. Lawler said he wouldn't do it. Lawler walked past Punk, bumped shoulders, and then gave him a roundhouse kick and laid out Jerry Lawler. CM Punk picked up his belt and stood there as the show ended. How to get heat 101? Beat up Jerry Lawler, says William McConnell on Twitter.
It worked. Like, the stuff of CM Punk, it worked. Could have done without the Cena bullshit. But, you know, but it's just one of these things that constantly, CM Punk is right. He's always on the back burner. He's always in second class. He has to do things like kick Jerry Lawler in the head to be noticed on a TV show where he is the company's champion. Because the doofus in green constantly has to be the main event guy, has to be in the spotlight, has to be the final fucking image everybody likes to see.
So
it's just I'm sick of this shit. I'm over it. I'm fat enough.
Okay, Mace. Raw's over with. It's time to get to the fun. We don't have to give a grade or anything. Let's get to the fun. The trending topic.
But I want to hear Mace rant.
Mace is going to kill himself if he rants. he may fire us from his lives if he starts to rant.
All this shit just... I don't know how the idiots in control of that company can sit there and hear this shit. Punk has said the same thing for the last fucking forever and a day, and yet they send Cena out to bury him. Because that's what it was. That was Cena being sent out to bury CM Punk for being popular. And God forbid anybody but John fucking Cena be the focus of the goddamn company. Because then we might actually enjoy the shit for more than 10 seconds. It pisses me off. It's pissed a lot of people off. And it's starting to reflect in their fucking ratings. This shit keeps going down, 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 down. Surprisingly enough, TNA starts to be gaining viewers. People are starting to fucking finally wake up in this world. But you know what? It doesn't mean shit to the WWE because they manufacture what they want. Because they never listen to a fucking fan in their life anymore. People may think I'm just sounding like a typical in-net mark fucking rant and raving. I have been watching wrestling, 20 years. I've seen the best of times, I've seen the worst of times. I paid fucking thousands of dollars to train myself, to get trained, to get into this business because I love this business with every fiber of my being. Every time I see this shit happening on the biggest stage in the world for the sport that I fucking grew up with the sport that I fucking bleed for, it pisses me off. Because every guy who is out there on the fucking indie scene, working their ass off, will never get a fucking shot with that company. Why? Because they can't be John fucking Cena. They can't be a manufactured piece of shit who's still, after nearly fucking 15 years in the main event, in the fucking top spot in the fucking business, can't even put a headlock on properly. He's the guy who fucking ends up being the focus of your fucking company. Why? Because you manufactured him to fucking sell shit to kids. Well, guess what? Maybe you should stop catering to the fucking kids and look at the adults who have to pay for every single fucking thing those little shits want. Because, yeah, you're manipulating a fucking market. You're no better than a fucking supermarket who puts the lollies on the bottom shelf because a fucking 5-year-old kid sees that in their eye line. This fucking whole thing is a fucking farce. It's not even a fucking business that's supposed to be a part of a fucking sport. Or even the TV show. TV shows don't even go as low as this fucking company now. So they need to fucking start listening to shit. And here's the thing. We know they fucking listen to us. They fucked us over and changed storylines and fucking stolen our ideas enough that we know that they fucking listen to us. They listen to fucking WNL. They listen to fucking half the fucking shows out there because we are the audience that they secretly try and steal all the shit off. Or maybe they need to start fucking listening to people who aren't standing there going, "Yes, McMahon, would you like to fucking stick it up my ass again?" I swear to God, I am at the point where I sit here every week and I try to find a reason to tune in. And I'm not the only one. A lot of us do it out of habit because we're creatures of habit. That's what a human being is. And fucking inside it makes me fucking cry. To watch this business fucking dive so fucking low. After many years. And people go, yeah, it's circular. No, it's fucking not. It's a roller coaster, up and down. This thing's been going down for years. Wrestling is a fucking sinking ship, ladies and gentlemen, and the WWE keep putting holes in the fucking boat. So if you want to fucking stick around listening to me rant right now, and I've been doing it for a few minutes, I understand this. Listen to me now. Take time to go and watch TNA. Their storylines might not be the top notch, but at least they show you a fucking wrestling company. They still have respect for the fucking business that came before it. Go watch Ring of Honor. Go watch WSU. Go watch Shimmer. Go fucking watch your local independent companies. But don't watch this shit. If you fucking still want to be a real wrestling fan, watch the competition. Send the WWE a message that this shit doesn't fucking fly anymore. And I'm fucking done.
Well said.
I've been wanting to get that out for a long time. You guys have no idea.
It sounds like it.
You feel better? You feel better now?
I do, but I also feel drained.
Well, on the upside, CM Punk did it for Andy Kaufman.
I saw that.
Good one.
It would have been better if he did it for the people and they did it for The Rock. But anyway. Actually, now all of a sudden I want to see CM Punk with an old school record player miming Mighty Mouse.
I like that.
So can we do something fun now?
Let's do the porn. Let's talk about the porn. Tonight on Twitter, as, you know, we're going to continue on because, you know, the conversation will continue after the show anyhow, so you're getting a bonus part of the show for a few more minutes. WWE porn names was a trending topic apparently tonight on Twitter. At least some people said it was trending. I never saw it trend, but I wasn't looking at the trending thing all night long. So, let's share some names. People are still talking about it. So, of 140-something new tweets from like 5 minutes ago when I brought the thing up. So, anyone want to start?
I'll kick it off.
Yeah, go for it.
The Big Red Monster.
I like this one. Brock Molester.
They had one on. Someone put out WWE poor name. Kelly. You also have.
Yeah, we also had somebody saying AJ Styles as well for that one.
Deep penetration X. Val penis.
Chubby your peepee.
Kofi.
I still want Degeneration X shilling.
That's right.
The dildos.
That's right. We should show Mace the picture now. Mace was talking in his rant about how. God, where the hell was the link? There it is. Mace was talking about how John Cena sells things to little kids. I saw this on Facebook before Raw, Mace. Posting it in our chat room as well.
Content warning. If you're below 18, do not look at this.
Yeah, not safe for work, people.
Not safe for work.
By the way, I apologize if you had speakers going in your workplace while I was ranting.
Oops.
Oh, that's not wrong. wrong. All sorts of wrong.
But think about it.
I don't want to.
All the fangirls in the fan would buy the shit out of that.
I need the eye bleach.
I told Rock when he showed me that after I got done choking on my pizza. That's the one thing I'm surprised Vince McMahon never tried to market or sell was superstar dildos. Especially in the Attitude Era. I mean, imagine DX trying to shill that.
That was the thing. DX never used this shill shit in the Attitude Era.
I know.
I'd like to see Shawn Michaels try and shill that.
Now, yeah.
Hey, you know what? All they gotta do is say, we got two words for you, suck it, and they point at the dildo. Complete with DX logos.
So you want some more porn names?
Yes.
Yeah. Go.
Lord Hentai. Balls Deep Mahoney.
Creative.
The Hard On Boys. BJ Lee. Let's see. Survive Her series. Chris Plasters. I'm just scrolling. The Shocker Master. Let's find some good ones. Horn Swallow. John Seaman. You have any others?
King Strong Bundy. Boink the Clown.
C-U-M Punk. Cum Punk.
See, this is where I shouldn't have closed down Twitter.
Lita.
Bam Bam Bangaho. Dolph Dicked Her. Cody Lhodes. You know, the jizz.
There have been some good ones, but unfortunately they were like really, really early in the night. The ones now are just,
I know. I'm like 48 minutes back.
All the creativity's like dead in that already.
I know, right? It's like,
And supposedly, I'm trying to.
Tommy Creamer. Mean Gene Chokerlund.
Oh, that's just cruel.
The One Man Gangbang.
Oh!
The Blue Weenie.
There was actually, there was more of that one. There was the Blue Meanie and Al Blow, and they did a parody of the Job Squad. I can't fucking find it.
Let's see. Hung Funaki.
See, now, where was this hashtag on Raw?
I know, it was trending. No, they didn't talk about it.
Yeah, see,
Zach Ryder.
Eve Perez.
Randy Horton. Everyone throughout China.
Yeah, they just...
KY2J Fist Jericho.
Ow.
Preparation.
Jizz Herb Paul.
Preparation H. Stephanie Dickman.
Here's one for Omega. Trish Straddle.
the Four Horsemen.
God.
Chris Jericho. Cowboy Bill Twats.
That's good.
that's creative, that one.
And that was written by a former WWE creative writer.
Of course it was.
Mr. Cocker.
Yeah, the Blue Meanie put that one out.
So, yeah. It's just... that's right. It's the Knob Squad instead of the Job Squad, featuring the Blue Weenie and Al Blow. I'm quite surprised that the only one out here is the Underwear Taker.
Yeah, it's the only one I've seen for Undertaker.
His is a little difficult.
Anyway, we've milked this shit long enough.
Yeah, I thought that would have been funnier. The premise sounded funnier than it turned out to be.
Yeah, the premise sounded funnier, but of course, people on Twitter are about the IQ of a fucking brick. Speaking of which, follow us on Twitter!
At Wild Talk, at Wild Talk Radio, at Lynn's Ward, at The Max Thing on Twitter. Tomorrow night, it's Kayfabe Wrestling Radio with Alan Wojcik. His guest will be Jay Lethal. So, you want to check out that show. Wednesday night, it's just another goddamn wrestling show. Jed Schaefer, Brian Blade, Scott Barry, The Cheap Wood Paneling. Thursday night, it's The Rack, Lindsay.
It is. We're going to be talking about Impact and WWE. We might start covering SmackDown. We haven't decided yet, but stay tuned and come listen to the show 11 p.m. Eastern right here on Wild Talk Radio.
Saturday night, midnight-ish, it's CB Radio. Joe, myself, and whoever the fuck shows up. So we talk the weird, the wacky, and the unusual. Sunday night, it's Wrestle Talk Radio, 10 p.m. Eastern. We'll cover all the week in WWE and TNA and everything else. Plus the great debate, roundtable, and all the other fun stuff we do on Wrestle Talk Radio. Sunday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. We'll be back for another edition of the WTR All Pro Show next Monday night, 11:30 p.m. Eastern, covering 3 hours of Raw. Because we know we're going to have so much fun doing that.
Let's see if I can actually survive till then first.
It's going to be a long, long week.
Mm-hmm.
WTRProductions.net, psychwardesigns.com. Anything else we need to plug?
CassidyRiley.net, because I finally updated the goddamn site.
Yay! WTRRiffs.
WTRRiffs, wildtalkradio.com/WTRRiffs. We have a few in a can, more coming. I think we're recording tomorrow?
Possibly. Gotta check with he who never has a schedule.
Right, we gotta check with him.
Yep. If you want to check out Leviathan on YouTube, Leviathan, it's actually my own YouTube account. I've got some videos up there from this past weekend at Melbourne Anime Festival. Nice little random polyp of Asians dancing. Quite amusing.
For all of us, see you next week. Probably the rest of the week on other shows we do live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, wildtalkradio.com, and you can hear us also on pwmania.com. Good night, everybody. You know that type of shit just don't work on me. Listen, let me try and start with me. Don't take it personally, 'cause we were never